Okay, so what's on your mind other than a little, when you think of it, is the Dow was 34,000, right? And just think of it was $34.50 or something, and it went down to $33. Would you panic?
No.
No.
No. So it's just, stocks are, a $34 stock will go to 29 and nobody really worries too much.
Correct.
So it's, anyway.
There's not a lot of $34 stocks that you want to own today. Most of them are, we're having this issue as well. Most of them are 100, 200, 300, 400 or more.
I know. So you just have to kind of keep things in perspective, right?
And I think part of the reason, as we were talking about, part of the reason they do that is they're less likely to get manipulated because the dollar value is so high.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the fractional shares thing doesn't work. And the puts and the calls are very expensive.
Correct. And who was it? Warren Buffett was talking about that people can't really manipulate his stock because the prices are so high.
That's very interesting. I've never heard that. That's a good idea. Well, of course, we've never had meme stocks that got run up and down for no reason.
Correct.
But, okay. So other than the crazy market, what's on your mind? I see a tie. This is shocking, Timothy. I know. You look like a regular businessman.
Trying to pick up my game.
It's good. It's good.
We were talking a little bit about some of the strategies with Ryan, and whether or not we need to look at stocks that we can't write on because we have less than 100 shares. Have you run that by Rob at all, or to get his opinion on that at all, Ryan?
No, I normally don't talk a lot of portfolio stuff. Okay. We're focusing more on practice stuff.
Okay. I would be interested in his opinion, not necessarily his, a big discussion, but I would like to hear his opinion about that because I think it may be, very
important. So Rob, years back, we talked about how a lot of the big teams, a lot of the private wealth teams, they have their own proprietary stuff. And that's part of the, that helped push us in that direction a little bit more. But as Larry mentioned, as time's gone on, it's been very difficult for us because in our option strategy is our flagship equity strategy, and we have to buy 100 share blocks. So historically, we've needed to have 300,000 or 350,000 in order to get 100 shares of something without having it be too big of a chunk of the portfolio. Right. So a few years ago, that used to be like $200 a share, where I could buy something at 200 a share, but it would be like 6% of the portfolio. So it would have to be a really good name, like an Apple or a Microsoft or something like that. So as everything's gotten more expensive, we've increased our minimums, but now I'm in a situation where, okay, our minimum's been operating around 350,000. That basically we can't buy, a ton of things now. Like that puts us out of Home Depot, puts us out of Goldman Sachs, puts us out of, Microsoft, MasterCard, Visa's tough, Facebook's out. It gets hard. So we've talked about raising the minimums, which of course eliminates a lot of opportunity. And in a scalable platform, we don't necessarily want to do that. Or we've talked about, do we say, okay, look, on a third of the portfolio in these smaller accounts, you're just not going to get options because, if we want to buy United Health at $400 a share, which we did last week, you just can't afford enough of them. If you've got 2 million in it, then you're going to have plenty. But, it's just that way we can actually own some of the names we've wanted to own without, necessarily just writing on a portion of the portfolio. since it's not a mechanical option strategy, we're leaning in that direction. We're just, you know, Larry wants to know what you think about that.
I'm a big fan of not riding on everything. When things get very expensive, then you ride on more. And when things are cheap, you ride on less. But that's, you know, now we're talking a little different strategy.
Right.
So,
that's how we've been though.
Good. Then, you know, I don't think this is a big, I mean, you're not going to, you're going to get different return. You know, theoretically you'd get a higher return if you're a good stock picker, by not writing because, you know, tend to go up more. So I guess I'd be, you know, being a fan of not writing on great companies, I'd probably think, yeah, let's do it.
The question, Rob, is
you're going to get two different rates of return. That's the only problem. So you're going to be running two different portfolios.
No, it's going to be one. I'm going to do it for all of it for the time being. I'm not going to run two different portfolios. Just if somebody puts less than, you know, 500 in, they're just not going to get options on everything.
But what my point is that their return will be different then.
Yes. Yes, correct. There could potentially be some discrepancies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dispersion of return.
I don't think it's going to be tremendously different because most of the high quality names most of the high dollar names we're buying are going to be ones that we're really going to want to own for the growth. I'm not going to necessarily buy those to write options on them.
I would probably, my first advice would be to raise your minimums to whatever necessary to write on everything to keep the model consistent. That would be, if I were a portfolio manager, looking to have consistent rates of return. From a practical point of view, I would say do what you're planning on doing.
Yeah.
So my official version would be to raise your minimums. My unofficial, which would be, hey, it's not going to have that much dispersion. Go ahead and do it without writing.
Okay.
I mean, that's just, but that's, you're really asking for a portfolio. I'm a professional in the business of managing money because I do it a lot, but I'm not a professional in the sense of any kind of, other than 50 years of experience.
Gotcha.
Okay. So I'm not a CFA. But I think I can outperform most people. But that's just pride.
Yeah. Well, that's the great thing about this job is you never fully have the grasp on all of it, right?
Right.
It will humble you.
It will humble the hell out of you because you have no clue what's coming around the corner. All you can do is just, you know, be prepared for everything, right?
Try to, yeah.
Yeah. What about, you know, the more manageable sides of the practice, which is?
I've had a couple different lunches with attorneys in the last week. I've got three of them in the last week and a half or so since we last talked.
Great.
So my activity is picking up a lot. I have another CPA lunch on Wednesday, and I'm really trying to force the issue on that side of the fence, and doing a lot of social networking, play some tennis with this other guy who's a CFO for a company that's, you know, a young Jewish guy that I grew up with that I hadn't seen in a long time. We bagged groceries at Winn-Dixie together when we were 15. So I saw him at a kiddie birthday party.
Right. Tell me about it. Right.
Yeah. So he's buddies with this other guy. I've been trying to loop in also, and they're friends with that other couple that the one is working for the private wealth fund. Like that's some of their best friends also. So we saw them on Friday night. That we hung out with them and saw them Saturday as well for the wife's birthday. So gave her a nice bottle of champagne. Doing all those things. And exercising again.
Good. Excellent.
So it's heading in the right direction. I'm just trying to focus on doing the actions, and the other stuff will come.
Activity. Activity equals results. Lack of activity gets you nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, people are looking for people that have answers, especially if the market stays bad for a while. That usually helps us because we contact our clients a little bit more and, you know, take a more active approach with it.
Okay. Brilliant. So, excellent. One of the things that I watched it's either Wimbledon that I'm watching or it's the Open or something. I happen to watch that and I heard an interview today with Colin Morikawa's coach who had coached him since he was 8. And they said, so how does he handle stress and how does he, you know, a lot of questions, right? And they really all apply to us. Because we're kind of in the same business, operating in a stressful environment, always looking for perfect in everything we do, including rates of return. The answers were good. The key is incremental progress. And that's the part you always have to keep in mind because you want immediate big results. And you want dramatic results, especially like Tim, you know, somebody like you in your situation, you're always moving forward. If you're moving forward, like Ryan with his activity, he gets a big attaboy from you guys. Okay. Because he needs that encouragement. It's going out and practicing and doing the hard work. And so he needs that encouragement that even though he may not see immediate results, you know, it's moving in the right direction and it's going to get results. You just keep doing it until you get them. Now you reassess periodically, make sure you're saying the right things and that your script is good and so forth. But, you know is progress. And that's the part you really have to get comfortable with. So incrementally getting better every day and then forgiving yourself for, you know, if your returns have been good, for example, I know Ryan was upset about his returns. You don't beat yourself up. Okay. It is life. You're going to miss shots and you're going to have a bad tournament or you're going to miss the cut or you're going to, in this case, you're going to have a bad quarter and that's okay. You don't beat yourself up. I mean, the worst person to beat up is yourself. What you want to do is examine what you're doing and see what you need to change, if there is something, make the necessary adjustments, and then move forward. You don't, you see people like John Rahm on there just beating himself to death when he misses a ball. So you think that's good for him? If he fires him up and makes him concentrate, fine. But beating yourself up and doing negative talk to yourself is not good, right? It is detrimental to your success. So those were just a couple of things that came out of that interview that apply to us. And I think we got to be reminded of that is that, you know, you guys have made a lot of progress and you should be congratulated for it. I mean, one of the things that Ryan and I talked about a lot is his frustration at not making more progress but the activity wasn't there. And so it was sort of a being mad at the fact that we didn't do anything. Now we should be happy because we're doing things and the probabilities of progress have skyrocketed. And that's the only thing you care about. Okay. The probabilities of progress. Assuming you have some talent, and you guys have got plenty of talent. You got all the talent you need. So skills and practices, skills and best practices. Don't expect your first meeting with a center of influence to be great. It won't be. Go back, re-examine it, and make sure that your process is as you wanted it to be. So debrief. So he debriefs after every tournament and they go through every part of what they're doing. So what you and Tim can do, or you and Larry can do, or the three of you can do, is go back and debrief very openly as to what I did, how I did it, what shortcut did I take, and what did I do exactly the way I've been taught.
Yeah, I had a conversation with another guy, Larry. I spoke with Elliot the other day. Eric was telling me he's been bringing in a lot of money, and I walked down. I asked another advisor. I said, you know, no advisor loves hearing the question, "Hey, tell me how wonderful you are." You know, like, so I went down and asked this guy. I'm like, "Hey, you know, Eric paid you a really big compliment the other day. He told me you had a natural gift for this thing." And, you know, I'm like just stroking that ego. And of course he gave me about 25 minutes. You know, so like, you know, and for the next, you know, 25 minutes, he told me about how he does stuff. And, you know, and then he says, you know, I think I just got lucky, you know, like, and I hear that a lot when I talk to people, "Oh, I just got lucky, you know, something right. happened." But then again, he also said, like, he's been, you know, he's been meeting with these people, like he tries to see people once a quarter and just do a quick lunch or just do whatever. And so I wouldn't necessarily say that's lucky per se. You know, like if you get a referral from one of those people, you are staying top of mind. But he wasn't doing anything amazing. It was just kind of like keeping in touch. Like, that's really all it was. And I was looking for this golden bullet, and there was none. It was just like, you know, he's like, "Yeah, I've been keeping in touch with the CPA, and, you know, we got a mutual client, and the client's other advisor decided to leave the firm he was at, so it gave me an opportunity to bring in this other money." And, you know, it was just like, you know, some of it's frustrating because you want to hear that secret sauce, and it's like, you know, and it doesn't seem like there's one secret sauce. It seems like the secret sauce is to do the activities, and that is the secret sauce. And then, you know, stay in front of these people.
Right.
You know, our young guy Ross has been bringing in a lot of money, and he's working, but he's kind of taken everything. So it's a little different than what we're trying to do, where we're trying to be a little bit more judicious in what we're bringing in, which, so I know it's going to be a longer selling cycle. I know there are going to be fewer opportunities, and we need to convert on those opportunities, but, it's still a little tough. Good.
Don't be tough on yourself until your pipeline is full.
The pipeline's full. We get the practice shrunk down to where it's manageable. We get, we've done a lot to get here where we're at, and now kind of building on what we want it to be and continue to do that. Now you don't have to worry about anybody else, but, you know, quite frankly, the three of us just moving forward. There's not a lot of other stuff that's going to throw us off our game. And I do think it's blocking and tackling. It's basic stuff. You know, we keep doing that. And the fact that we want bigger dollars does make it longer, but that's a reward in its own right.
It doesn't necessarily, it just takes longer to fill the pipeline. Okay. The pipeline will take longer than, you know, $500,000 rollover, but it will take longer to fill the pipeline. But once the pipeline is filled, then they should come out regularly. Okay. I mean, it's just a mathematical game. So this is not anything that, you know, there's no psychology involved here except having the patience to and be willing to fill that pipeline with the quality. It just takes longer to fill it, right? So you need to do, you know, it's crazy, but you just need to do more. If you want it filled faster, you need to do more. You got to increase your activity. Now, one of the things that you guys can do, which doesn't take any more activity from you than your regular 12-4-2s, is that anniversary idea, the introductions, right? Are you doing that? The one where we talked about the page in the introduction where...
No.
Okay, it's a really good idea, and it takes no more effort than you normally would have, and you just need a sales assistant to do the work to get it onto the agenda. Okay? So all you're doing is putting the date in the calendar of when, and you don't even have to do this. You can just say, I want the date of when I opened up my last 20 clients put into my calendar. And then I want the person that introduced me for each one of those. Okay, so most of your business is coming from introductions. I would say it's probably 100%. So there's a person that introduced you in every case of the top 20 clients that you opened in the last 2 years, say. All you have to do is put those anniversary dates of when you opened the client in your agenda. And when you call them normally, you just simply thank them for opening the account. And then you simply thank the person that introduced you for introducing you. Now, what that's going to do is raise your probability of them saying, oh, Ryan, I've got another guy for you. From zero to probably 20%. Because people want to make each other happy. So this is an idea, Ryan, where you don't have to do anything except say happy anniversary. Larry, Tim, that's all you have to do. You have somebody else do the work and get it ready for you. Now that takes a little management, but that's all it takes.
What about taking our top 20 clients and doing that?
You can take your top 100, but you got to start somewhere.
But if we start at the top 10, then go to the 20, and then so it's manageable for her to put it on there is what I'm thinking.
Right. The whole thing is very manageable. Once you get the anniversary date into your Outlook calendar, it's going to be there every month. All she has to do is look on the Outlook and see who's there and put the name down. This is their, you know, put the date and the name, you know, just get the folder and say, okay, here's the page. Here's the agenda. Put it in the agenda and there you are. You know, you could always say, by the way, don't keep us a secret. You know, if they don't say anything, or you could actually ask for another introduction, all of which will increase your probabilities of getting them. So when you're looking for activity, you don't need to take, you know, 6 hours and do, this will take you no more than 3 or 4 minutes at the most. Okay.
Yeah, it's simple, easy. We can get it. We can manage the process, get Christine to put it on there.
This is a really, really good idea that nobody uses. And the reason they don't use it is because there were too many moving parts to it before I decided to just put it on the month and put it on the agenda for your 12-4-2. That takes it out of your hands. Puts it in the sales assistant's hands And then all you have to do is just look at the agenda and say the words. And it doesn't cost you any money. You don't have to send them an expensive bottle of wine or something. Okay? And that should, that just be patient with it and know that you're planting seeds, you're reinforcing behavior, and you're thanking people, which makes them happy, which makes them want to do it more.
Correct.
Okay. So there's no reason you can't do this. So that's your homework. That's what you're going to do for me by the next time we talk. Have this up and running.
Even if we do 20 apiece, that's 60 people that we're, 60.
And they're not going to, remember, it's only once a year you're going to do this. So it's not happening that often. So eventually, Larry, you can get to all your clients, right? You just have to go through them once and put them on there, and then they're on there forever.
Yeah.
You just have to make sure that who's ever putting your calendar together, putting your agenda together for the month, they're looking at your calendar to see if there is an anniversary. That's all they have to do.
Okay.
Okay.
I need to get Christine to get, I gave her the quarterly and monthly report back from list of clients, and I don't know where she is on that. I need to follow back up with that.
Getting everybody to be good teammates is part of the job. So we'll call this project the Getting Introductions Without Asking project.
Ryan, you need to go.
I'm doing stuff. I'm listening.
Okay.
Does it make sense? Shall we leave it there? Let you go?
Simple, easy.
Simple, easy, that no one does, that will be a little secret, that will get you introductions, and you can share it someday if you feel like it. Otherwise, you keep it your secret sauce to yourself.
But, and we can pull it out of CRM for the most part. Luckily, that's like a quantitative field that's easily pulled with a quick read over to
have our top 22 accounts as well under profile.
Right.
Yeah, you just really need the date they opened the account and then just go back and see who reintroduced them. And then that goes on each one. Okay. So you would have two separate names for each account for each date. The person that was introduced and then the person being introduced. Person introducing and then the person introduced. And that's it. I mean, it's a simple idea that I'm convinced will work.
Yeah.
So we're just employing a little psychology. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a good week. Have fun. Smile.
Take care, Rob. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Bye-bye.